But I invite you to open up your Bibles this morning to John chapter 3, St. John chapter 3. We'll have a word of prayer before we read. Our Heavenly Father, we do give you praise and glory and honor for all that you've done, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we are certainly thankful for salvation most of all. We're thankful for that lighthouse, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we're thankful for Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father, that one day shined the gospel word into our hearts and souls. And dear Lord, we received it with joy, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, as Sister Ann mentioned too, it's been a wonderful blessing to us, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we have confidence and trust and hope and faith that, dear Lord, that word that God has saved, that lighthouse that God has saved, dear Heavenly Father, will lead us all the way home, dear Heavenly Father, one day to where we'll be able to stand before you and give you personal thanks, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, as you walked this earth one time and there were 10 leopards that came and you healed all 10, and Lord, only one returned to give you thanks. And you asked the question, were there not 10, where are the other 9? And but Lord, one gave him thanks. So Lord, we don't ever want to fail to give you thanks for all that you do. Dear Lord and dear Heavenly Father, our desire one day is to bow before you and give you that thanks and give you that praise for all that you've done. So Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one of us, dear Heavenly Father. We're here this morning. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here for a social group. Dear Heavenly Father, we're here the word of God. And dear Lord, as you have given me a word this week, dear Heavenly Father, and dear Lord, as we've been confident that as we present the word, dear Lord, that the Spirit of God can take and to direct it to each and every soul. Dear Heavenly Father, as I preach the word, as I've mentioned many times, as I preach the word, dear Heavenly Father, I don't never preach the word to a particular person, but dear Lord, I preach the word. And dear Heavenly Father, I have great confidence that the Spirit of God can direct it to be an encouragement, to be a blessing, to be help, to be challenge, dear Lord, to be correction, or whatever it might be, dear Heavenly Father, for each and every one of us. So, Lord, we have to be diligent to have our ears tuned to the Spirit of God, what He gives to each one of us. So, Lord, we appreciate each one being here this morning, and we ask you to just anoint me, anoint the word, that we'll bring it just as you would have us to. In Jesus' name, we ask and we pray. Amen. In John chapter 3, we're going to read the first verse, 6 verses, and most of you are very familiar with it probably. And a lot of times I say that, and I've said that several weeks, and I trust that these verses are. And to people that are Bible scholars, these verses are. But sometimes you'd be surprised how many people, as I've talked to in the world, we can talk about familiar verses, and they know nothing of them. But this is a story where in St. John chapter 3, this is a story where Jesus was dealing with a man named Nicodemus. And we'll start in verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I want to bring a little bit of thoughts about my message this morning before we get back into the thoughts here. In our world today, there are many things that are not clear. People try to make things confusing, make things difficult to understand. And the general thing of what we look at today, gender should not be confusing. Amen. That's true. I should be able to look at a person, and that's a man, and that's a woman. That shouldn't be a confusion, but they're trying to today. And I'll just drop this little thought because it was, I was talking to someone yesterday. It broke my heart and had nothing to do with the message, nothing to do. We just happened to be talking. And their grandchild that is in second grade came home and said, "Grandmom, I want to be a girl." His grandmother and his mother and father were floored, wanting to know where he heard that from. But anyway, I don't want to go into that this morning. But the things are trying to be confusing. Whether they're male, whether they're female, forever and ever in time, we've had Democrats and Republicans. What do the Democrats believe? What do the Republicans believe? They believe differently, and always controversy, and there's always divisions of things. All kinds of religions out there. All kinds of denominations. A lot of us sometimes we can, I know I'm for one, read a legal document. I have no idea what it said. I could read something and I'm like, I have not a clue what you said. Sometimes I read things on a computer or whatever and things that are going on in the political world or whatever, and I'll read the newscast. I'm like, I don't have any idea what they're talking about. We say, give it to me in layman's terms. Help me to understand it. They use words that are for educated people. Isaiah one time, in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness." I feel we're there today. There again, this is not my part of the message. I'll get into it. I'm trying to build a little base here. But do that very same thing. Things that were morally correct, morally acceptable in society. They are trying to change those things to where we don't know what they are today. They're not clear. They're not understanding. And in our world today, there have been so many times, there have been so many changes sometimes. And I'll ask you, you may think this, especially all those of us who have a little bit of age on us and things, when things are pushed on us so much and things are said, this is the way it should be, this is the way things should be because of whatever, and it is pushed so much on us to where I sometimes think, every once in a while, am I wrong? Everybody's leaning towards this way. Everybody's pushing towards this way. And many things. I'm not talking about any particular thing. But I've, in my mind, what was normal, standard protocol for life now is changing to a point to where I'm like, should I be considering something a little different? Should I be thinking different? That affects us. It affects us mind. It affects our mind and in many different avenues. The more things are put out there, it affects our mind. We think about it. And I believe that this is a part, I believe that this is a tactic many times that the enemy does to try to destroy the gospel of Christ. And when we think about that, when we think about us, that at our age, when things can be confusing, or questionable, I shouldn't say confusion, but we should, sometimes we may question, what is this really about sometimes, or what is going on? If it's that way with us, what about some of these young people, or teenagers and things, as they're growing up, and it's even more confusing to them, because they were not subject to a standard moral situation. Coming up, I've heard some things in recent. They try to impress things, you know. And a lot of us, I guess, many of us in our time, we grew up with a mother and a father. That was standard. I said that. I'm going to rephrase a little. We grew up with a mother and father, a woman and a man in the home. And now they talk about how much more important, now let's stay with that particular standard, they talk about how important a father's role is in the family for women or for young girls or young boys. And we know that to be true. But young people are growing up and they don't have that. They have one parent or they're raised by a guardian or a grandparent or whatever. I was telling there again, the person we were talking to yesterday, I was telling him my son had gotten in trouble in school when he was back in high school, which was quite a number of years ago. And the guidance counselor said, "We need to see your parents." And Lynn and I went into school and we sat in front of the guidance counselor and she said, "This is very unusual." Now we're talking
We're talking, he graduated in 05. So, you know, almost 20 years ago, and then 3 or 4 years, so 25 years ago at least. She says, this is very unusual for me to see both parents and a guidance counselor. She goes, usually we see one or the other, or a grandparent, or a guardian, or an aunt. Never do we see both parents. That was 25 years ago. Imagine where it's like today. So what I'm talking about is the basic standard of how people morally should live has kind of gone along the wayside and confusing today. And for young people, they're not raised with any type of particular moral standard. So it's even much more, because I believe God still puts your conscience in our heart. God still puts something down in our soul to understand the difference between right and wrong. Now, our conscience can be seared with a hot iron sometimes because we're accustomed to it, and we just accept that way. But God still puts something in our being that lets us know, hey, this is wrong. The Word tells us, the Bible lets us know, our yeses should be yes, our noes should be no. As saints, we should be clear. Tell people where we stand. Jesus says, let me know. Are you on fire for God, or you're not on fire for God? Tell people, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, my desire is to make heaven my home. Or tell people, as the brother said, pray for me, I need to be saved. God accepts that. God honors that type of commitment, because you and God knows exactly how to deal with it. He says our yeses should be yes, our noes should be noes. Things should be left, things should be right. They should be standard. Jesus one time said, you're either with me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. Jesus Christ said one time, he says, you're either helping to build the kingdom of God, you're putting yourself forward and helping to build the church, helping to support the congregation, you're either putting yourself forward and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or you're not. There's no middle ground. Well, I don't really know. Now, God does give us a time to consider. The Bible says, count the cost. But he gives us a certain time to consider, and if we don't make that decision to follow Christ, he puts us on the side that we're not. There is no middle ground with God. So, and one of the things I brought all those things, or building up to my thought for this morning, I brought all those things that are confusing. God has not changed, and God will not be saying, I know the world has changed, so I'm going to allow my standards to change. God's standard does not change. You're either with me or you're against me, period. Well, I like to be that middle ground. You can't be. Revelation said you're lukewarm and I'll spew you out of my mouth. You're gathering or you're scattering. That's what Jesus said. That's the verse that he said. He goes, you're gathering, you're helping to build, or you're tearing things apart. So when we present, when we think about the confusion with people today, and how things are so much unclear, when you present people with the gospel, when you present people with the plain, simple truth, it's confusing to them. People have gotten to a point to where things are not standard anymore. This is standard. Just a little bit of thought. Some of you all, with some of us, remember, you used to get a car. You buy a car. What was standard? AM radio. That's about it. No air condition. You did have heat. No, nothing power back then. If you wanted AM, FM, if you wanted the cassette, 8-track, remember the 8-tracks? After a while, if you got some power windows or power seats, that was not standard. Today, you can't buy anything standard as it was. Everything is loaded with it. That's standard. Back then it wasn't. Jesus talked to Nicodemus here. And my main thought for this morning I want to look at in verse 3. As Nicodemus came to speak to Jesus, and I like Nicodemus's response, his sincerity with God here in verse 2, he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles
that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3, Jesus says to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That doesn't come any plainer. That doesn't come any more simple. You can't simplify that anymore. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in verse 5, he says it there. He goes on, and again, Jesus isn't changing his word for anything there. But in verse 5, he says the same scenario there. And he uses two words I just want to emphasize here a little bit. He says in verse 3, and he says it again in verse 5, verily, verily. Those two, that word verily means truly. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see. And if that man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is plain. That is clear. That is understandable. I don't need to put that in layman's terms. In one sense, we might talk about that a little bit later. I don't need to put that in terms that you need to understand. Now, and a little bit Nicodemus had to ask Jesus about that. But he says, truly, truly, there's only one way to make heaven your home. There's only one way that you can enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again of the Spirit and of the water. There's no other way. Christ says there's no other way. And from the time that Jesus Christ spoke this to Nicodemus to over 2,000 years ago to the day, that has not changed, and it will not change if the world stands for another 10,000 years. Amen. It won't change. Well, the world has changed, but God's word will not change. And the way to make heaven a home, it will not change. Jesus says, except, and I want to emphasize that word this morning, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I got this thought that I'm going to bring to you this morning from Brother Harley many years ago. I've never used it before. I've always thought about it. We were somewhere dealing with some situations that were going on. And it wasn't this verse of Scripture. It was another verse of Scripture. And Brother Harley, in his wisdom, he was dealing with the people. And those of us that were standing around, it just anchored in our mind. And he was dealing with them. He goes, you people, you need to accept the accept. He said, you need to accept the accept. That was the problem. There was a dealing, and I'll go on and tell you what it was. I think it was dealing with divorce and marriage. And the Bible says, Jesus said, and that's what he was referring to. Jesus says, except because of fornication, there's no law of divorce. And they were not accepting that. And this is not my message at all. I'm just relating to where he got it. He says, you need to accept the accept of what Jesus said. Well, Jesus uses that same wording here in verse 3 and verse 5, except ye be born again. You need to accept that. Well, not really. Well, it can be a little different here. That doesn't really have to be. Jesus says, except you be born again. Except you repent and ask for forgiveness of Jesus Christ and be born of the Spirit and the water, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Period. And Jesus didn't make any allowances there. And as I mentioned here, you need, as he mentioned that thought there, and I mentioned that in our world today, people need to accept the accept. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I was trying to actually, I don't know if we may even have that song. I think Hagerstown sings it in their little songbook. There's only one way. One way to heaven. There's only one way. Amen. You can't get to heaven any other way. You can't get to heaven on good deeds or anything else. You can't get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Nicodemus went on and asked him,
some questions here. And talk to them some. I think we'll get into that a little bit later here. But let's go to Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, picking up in verse 1. And they were present at the same time, they were present at the season, some that told of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, now look at what he talks to these. Listen at these couple verses here. Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those eight upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There's no other way. Jesus is dealing with some things here, and they're talking about some of the things that in the Galatians, and that Pilate had mingled blood with their sacrifices, and they were upset that these men, and we think about it a little bit. Sometimes we think that those people, certain people, are worse sinners than above all. And that's what they were trying to tell Jesus, and I believe they were trying to tell Jesus is trying to justify themselves, which many people do just that. They try to justify themselves by, I'm not as bad as my neighbor. I'm not as bad as that particular country. I'm not as bad as these particular people over there. I'm not that bad, and I believe that's what they were trying to emphasize here to Christ. Let me point out some things that were really, really bad. And I'm not nearly that bad, and maybe you'll give me a good pat on the back. Yeah, you're not as bad as they were. You're doing better. But Jesus, they went on to say this, and Jesus says in verse 2, suppose ye that these Galatians were sinners above all those? So he asked them a question. He goes, were they really bad men? Were they terrible men? And maybe they were. Yes, they were. But he says, but because they suffered much things, in verse 3, he says, I tell you no. He said they weren't sinners above all. One thing we need to realize, I think we're the only ones that classify sin. God doesn't. Murder is a terrible sin. Many people use God's name in vain. God says, it's the same. It's all one sin. You kill somebody or you use my name in vain. You stole something, you lie. It's all the same sin. You're going to die and go to hell. We put classifications on certain sin. Well, that person was a murderer. That person was a child abductor. That person was a child molester. That person did these abortions and all those things. That's terrible sins and all. But Jesus says, you think those particular sins are worse than anything? God says, no. No. He says, but in verse 3, he says, I tell you, except, and he was talking to these people there, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Those Galatians that did all that sacrificing with the blood and with Pilate and all that mingled the blood with, they'll die and they'll go to hell. But let me tell you what, unless you repent, unless you accept Jesus Christ and repent, you're going to go to the same devil's hell that those people went to. It's the same thing. Jesus says, no. People want to classify things. Some of you might go in a store and buy a battery. I know us men may. You walk up there and there's good, better, and best. We do the same thing. It's good, it's bad, or it's worse. God doesn't look at it that way. He says all of your goodnesses are nothing but a bucket of filthy rags. You have zero credibility with God except through Jesus Christ.
And except we accept Jesus Christ, we have no credibility. We're the ones that classify things. And as they talked about this here, and he goes on in verse 4, and he talks about the 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye were, they were the sinners above all that were in Jerusalem? I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In our time and world, we would think Adolf Hitler was a bad man. And he was. And if you've ever read some of the history or seen some of the things, the Holocaust Museum and all that, if you've ever been there and seen some of these things, how terrible the things he committed. But Jesus says here in the relationship of what he's saying in this chapter here, and in our world today, we all would come to the degree that Hitler was a terrible man, what he'd done. But we would all, if we do not accept Jesus Christ and repent, we're going to be right beside Hitler in one sense in the same pit of hell. And we never did half of the things Hitler did. Well, I shouldn't say half. Not even an ounce of what Hitler did. The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, he was a bad man. But he repented. He repented and he accepted Jesus Christ. The man that was nailed to the cross, he was a bad man. But he came to the place and he repented. And he accepted Jesus Christ. And he made heaven his home. Jesus says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We have in our world today so much confusion. So many things. Well, this has changed, that's changed. And the saints, I'm telling you, it does me. I know it has. It sets our mind in the tune to where maybe we don't judge certain things as quickly because it might be something we don't understand. 30 years ago, the standard was this, this, and this. And we didn't even question. You didn't even have to ask people. Boom, just come up with an answer. Today, you hesitate before you answer what is your thought on this particular thing, and it can be a variety of anything in the world. You may pause for just a moment. Morally, you know that this is the way it should be. I'm going to give you something. I hope nobody gets offended. Well, Danny mentioned a little bit. I tell you, talk to you a lot of times about the Old Testament. We talked about mercy last week, and we're under mercy, we're under grace now. Thank God for grace, and thank God for mercy. I often mention it here at home. Go back and read through the book of Leviticus. There is no mercy. That's God's law. God told in one of the laws in Leviticus, he told the parents, if a child is unruly, they're to bring him to the leaders or whatever. And they find him, they'd take him out and stone him, your own child. A boy shot that teacher, 6 years old. He was under the law, wouldn't have been a question. He'd have been taken out and stoned, killed. Probably his parents too, parent, whatever was there. That was the standard. Even me saying that today, every one of us says, whoa, put the brakes on that. But that was the standard. As I said, thank God we're under grace. That child and them parents are alive today because we're under grace of God today. The mercy of God today. If we were under the law, there wouldn't have been a question. But we've come so far away from even the standards of moral ways of doing things. Even everything is confused. And when people can, as I said earlier, I believe it's a tactic that the enemy does, because if he can get us to think about just the general things of life, when it comes over to the things of God, he will do the same thing here. We're going to read a scripture in just a moment later in the verses. He'll do the same thing here in the Word of God. Maybe this isn't the way it's so, you know, they're attacking this now. They're attacking the Word of God. They've been doing it for many, many years. We need to get rid of this. This is old. This isn't needful anymore. We're in 2023 now. We don't need to. This is past tense. God says it won't change. Let's go to John chapter 1, or John chapter 10. Mm-hmm. In John chapter 10, verse 1, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking here again, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. That word, that verse, is anchored in God. It will not change. If we're sitting here, and church starts, and there's somebody knocking on the window, and we raise the window, and they climb in through that window. We're like, what are you doing? It'd be unusual. There's a door. Enter, come in the doorway. Come in the front door. Well, this is the way I like to come in. And they did that every week. After a while, you know, they're disturbing things. What's going on? And Jesus Christ says, here, there's a way. There's a way to make heaven. There's a way to make heaven a home. And as we read back there in John chapter 3, enter. He says, except you be born again. In verse 1 here, John 10, he that entereth not by the door, and that door is Jesus Christ, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. How many different ways are there? I Googled that just to see what would come up as I was working on this message. Tried to come up, I asked that question, I wrote that on my notes, how many different ways are there? I thought, okay, well, how many different ways, just as a reasonable thought, how many different ways are there? So as I meditated on it a little bit, so I said, I'm going to Google it. Surprisingly, you go home, Google it later, you Google it, you put in your phone, you Google, how many ways to make heaven your home? How many ways you think I got?
Just one.
I got one. Even Google knows that there's only one, through Jesus Christ. But the world won't accept that. You know, the world loves Google. The world loves looking things up through Google, searching it and whatever. And Google's more gospel than the Jesus Christ, than the Word of God. Google's gospel. But if they were to Google that, I brought a message one time up in Patton one time, and the very thought, a lot of times people will research things on the computer. And if you have a sickness in your body, and you think, man, my stomach don't feel good, my head don't feel good, I'm going to Google it. And it might give you, and your stomach doesn't feel good. And it'll give you five reasons why your stomach doesn't feel good. And you'll read reason one, well, I don't like that reason. You'll read reason two, I don't like that reason. You'll read reason three, four, and five. But eventually you'll find something that maybe does appeal to you. You may say, well, you could have cancer. I don't like that. But that's what people do. Whatever they desire, they'll keep searching until they find what appeals to them. Well, you can search all you want. Jesus says, if you don't come by the door, which is Jesus Christ, except you do that, you cannot enter in. You have to come by the door by invitation. You just can't show up at the door either. I'm not saying this because I think it or read it. I'm saying this because I've seen it, experienced myself. You just can't show up at the mercy of Jesus Christ and knock on the door. Hey, let me in. He has to call you. People get into a place in life, they'll think, I'll just come to Jesus Christ when I'm ready. And they come to Jesus Christ, maybe in their dying days, they've got cancer, they've got a week to live, they knock on the door. Jesus says, no, I'm not going to answer you. Because I've called you before. I've pulled your heartstrings before. I've given you an invitation and you rejected me. There's even a parable in the Bible about that. Man entered into the wedding. And they gave him on a wedding garment. And he didn't put it on. They said, why don't you have the wedding garment on? He rejected it. And he cast him out. How many different ways are there? It's one. And it's very clear. But too bad so many accept a different way today. Too many want to accept some other way coming in, climbing up another way, as Jesus said here. Are we willing to accept the accept? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Paul's saying here, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve through the subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read it slow so you get the thoughts here. Paul says, "My fear," as he's been preaching and helping building the churches and establishing them and getting them settled and getting them anchored in the things of God, he says, "There's something that I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know what the enemy loves to do? Try to reason. "You really think this is the word of God? You don't think he hasn't reasoned me?" You know how many times in my life, and only maybe on an occasion or two, he's tapped me on the shoulder. "Do you really believe that there is a heaven? Really? You've never seen it. You've never been there. You've never talked to anybody who's been there. Really think about it in your own sense. Think about what there's a place that this soul will go after you die. Do you really believe that?" And he tries to get us to get confused. And then all you have to do is hear some things out there in the world that they deny it also. And he sort of tries to entertain himself, but you got to put a stop to that thought. You got to, by the faith. Sometimes you just got to stand by faith. "I believe it by the grace of God." Sometimes it's easy to have faith. Sometimes it isn't easy to have faith. But he says here, as the devil tried to do things as he did with Eve here, he beguiled Eve through convincing her, to talking to her, trying to reason with her. He says, you know, she says, "God says I'm not to eat of the tree." And he says, "Well, God knows that you'll become like a god when you partake of this, knowing good and evil." He reasoned, he tried to reason with her, where she finally, she was at one time anchored in the things of God, but dealing with the enemy and his conniving ways and his ways that he does things. And Paul goes on, "That your mind should be corrupt." Today I preach the message, and you may be anchored in that. The only way to make heaven a home is except you be born again. I can't make it. You may have that anchored. Tomorrow, the devil will start trying to work on that. That may not be true. Corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. Many times people try to make this difficult. I've heard ministers sometimes, like listening to them on the radio, not radio, or whatever, on the computer or whatever. I've heard them, and I feel I know the Word of God pretty good. And I'm like, "I have no idea. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I don't even know what you're using, other big words." Paul, one time, he says, "I don't come to you enticing words. I come to you with simplicity." Sometimes people try to go back in the Old Testament, back in Revelation, and explain Revelation and pull the chart out. And there's nothing wrong with looking at the chart and discussing some things and all, but they try to explain things and try to make themselves look important. Go back into Isaiah and Daniel. I mean, go back into Daniel, and they try to explain things back there and be important, so to speak. They try to make it difficult. Paul says that's what the enemy does. Jesus talked to Nicodemus. He says, "You must be born again." Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Jew. And he said, what else did he say about Nicodemus there? I'm going to go back and read it real quick. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, ruler of the Jews. And, he was a very educated man. He was a man, no doubt, of the Old Testament, knew the Old Testament well. And Jesus told him he might be born again. And Nicodemus came back with him with a comment. He goes, "How does a man be born again? Does he enter the second time into the mother's womb?" And I believe he was sincere. He didn't really know. He never heard that. He never heard that preached before. How do you know that? Nicodemus said that. What do I do? Enter the second time into his mother's womb? And then Nicodemus went on to say, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said to him, he goes, "You're a master in Israel, and you don't know these things. All you have to do to be deceived is keep this shut and stay home. You keep this shut and stay home, you'll be deceived. And you'll think you're going your way to heaven. You'll stand before God and you'll hear, "Depart from me, thou wicked and slothful servant." But Lord, I've said this many times. There's songs on the radio. I always comment the song. I can't remember what the title of the song is. It's a country song. And it says, talks about a father's love. The young boy gets in trouble at school. He comes home. He's all afraid. And when his dad comes home, he got into a fight at school. He comes home. His dad's going to come home. And he figures he's going to get a whipping. Dad sits him on a knee and he talks about a father's love. Cared for him. It's heart touching. Man goes on through life. And he goes on down there in the world. He's standing before God. And his comment in the song, "If he'd known half of the things I'd done, they'd never let me in." And then I hear all about a father's love. That is not a true statement in the world puts out. That is so false. But people will take that song. "Oh, it's such a heartwarming song. I like that thought." But that is not gospel. But Lord, that's what the song said. Depart from me. You want to make your heaven your home? Keep your nose in here.
Amen.
And keep your nose in the house of God. Hearing the word of God. Listening to the word of God. Nicodemus, you're a master in Israel. How do you not know these things? I thank God. I prayed this morning. I thank God for the Spirit of God. Because let me tell you what. As I preach, there's someone much more greater than I am. Is the Spirit of God that takes my word and delivers it to each and every single one of your hearts if you're leading. I don't. I just deliver the word as God gives it to me. But the Spirit of God says, "Here's what you need. Take this." There are many religious people that will not even accept the accept. "Well, I know we have to be born again, but there's other things we have to do." The individual I was talking to yesterday, we were talking about a religion that when a child is born, it is needful for them to be baptized immediately. And this person that I was speaking to was a part of that religion. And the religion teaches that as soon as a child is to be born, it is to get baptized. And if it doesn't get baptized before, or from the time it's born, if it doesn't get baptized and it dies, it goes to hell. That is nowhere in the Word of God. That is a lie. And it's a lie for the purpose of gaining money and a congregation to a people of people. They get you to get in there and get you a part of it, and then you'll be a part of it for life, and many are. And I let the person know, when a child is born into this world, they're innocent before God until they come to the age of accountability. And God only knows that time they have an understanding of right and wrong. And that's when God will charge them with sin at that time. I don't, you don't. It's between them and God. But Jesus says, "Except you be born." Now, I know that's what it said, but this is what we teach. Religious people change. So when we hear other things, and that's what I said a little bit ago, if we hear somebody teaching that this religion teaches that, this religion teaches this, this religion teaches that, what do I believe? Well, let's see what the Word of God says. I've often said it, and I think Christus Rose has used it on different occasions, and I've learned this early as a minister. Never, ever, ever, ever tell anybody that your pastor preaches this. You tell them this is what the Word of God teaches. Because if you tell them your pastor teaches this, they're going to say, "Well, my pastor teaches this." But if you tell them this is what the Word of God says, then they have to argue with the Word of God. I thank God for the simplicity. I thank God for the foundation of Jesus Christ. It standeth sure. And it's not going to change. May the Lord bless you as I was saying. Thank you.
there's a need in the audience, we give you an opportunity to come to an altar prayer, and the altar is always open for any need, whether it's spiritual, physical, just counsel. It's always there. We'll come and have counsel with you if you need to. So if there's a need.
Page 158, let's stand up. Page 158.
Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I long before forever to live in my soul. With every idle I have, every foe, now warn me and I shall be wider than so. Wider than soul, yes, wider than soul. Now watch me, and I shall be wider than soul. Lord Jesus, look thou from thy throne in the sky, and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be wider than so. Wider than so, yes, wider than so. Now wash me and I shall be wider than so. Jesus, what if I'm most humble in tree? I will bless the Lord and thy crucify fee. My faith for my cleansing, I see thy love flow. Now wash me and I shall be wider than so. Wider than soul, yes, wider than soul. Now wash me and I shall be wider than soul. Lord Jesus, thou sayest I patiently wait. Come thou and within me a new heart create. To those who have story, they'll never say no. Now wash me and I shall be wider than snow. Wider than snow, yes, wider than snow. Now wash me and I shall be wider.